Well, you know, I was thinking as we got ready for Mother's Day, we have been in a series on the book of Acts. We've been going through that for a couple months now, and I was debating on what to do for Mother's Day. I wondered about doing like a standalone message where we could just do a text that really connects with moms and motherhood. And as I thought about that, I looked at the next passage in the series on the book of Acts, and I just thought, doesn't really get any better than this. I just thought this passage, I think it's really going to help moms, help talk about the things that moms go through and encourage you in that. The book of Acts is about making disciples. It's about Jesus' followers helping others to know and follow Jesus. And so when you think about being a mom, it's really a time for discipleship. You are trying to help somebody follow Jesus, and it's not just any discipleship. It's certainly a discipleship that is the closest. It's the most nurturing, most heart, mind, soul, body involved relationship that there is, right? But ultimately, you're trying to help that person follow the Lord. And so, as we think about mothering, even fathering, running a business, whatever it is, we ultimately want it to be about discipleship. And as we read this book of Acts, we see discipleship happening. And I hope this encourages moms, because as we know how hard it is being a mom. I mean, you never get a day off, right? You're deprived of food, of sleep. You know, oftentimes you're giving the food you planned on eating, you're giving it to your kids so that they can have it. You don't get a day off. You get run ragged. There's always something that's going on. I was thinking about it. It's like moms are definitely underappreciated and underpaid, probably need like union representation is what you need. But I thought about that, and I thought, in our family, that means mom's night out. And those used to be like once every 6 months, but it feels like they've kind of become like every other week these days. But just ways to get encouragement. And I hope today's passage will encourage you in what God has called you to do. We're going to see here that Paul, he begins his next leg of his missionary journey. He has gone out, he's left. Actually, we're going to see this on a map. Can we see the first slide? Yeah, so he starts out in Antioch. That's the yellow dot. Then he goes to Cyprus, and then they go up to Perga. They land the boat there, and now they go into Antioch. So they've been in Antioch, and now they're going to start heading, which way is that? East. They're in Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. So that's where they're at today. So we see him on this missionary journey, and we're going to go through and talk about, we're going to see some of the things that happened to them. Next slide. They're in this focus, kind of the yellow dots with the black squares. That's where they are located. Their ministry is going to happen. So we're going to read this, and we're just going to see some of the challenges that Paul goes through and trying to share Jesus. And I think it's going to encourage you as you think about the challenges you have in sharing Jesus with others. Maybe a neighbor, maybe you moms trying to share and raise up your kids to know and fear the Lord. So we're going to start reading. This is Acts 14, verse 1. It says, "At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with the leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, 'Stand up on your feet.' At that the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, 'The gods have come down to us in human form.' Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gate, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with food, with plenty of food, and fills your heart with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders from them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. That's the word of the Lord. All right, I want to look at a few things in this passage that will encourage you to keep going, to complete the work God has given you. Everybody that is called to Christ is called to go to others. Everybody that's following Christ, you have work to do. God has given you work, and there are going to be obstacles and challenges that you want to prove faithful to. You want to push through those, and you want to keep going in that. So I want to look at three things in this passage. The first one is to persevere. To persevere. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was just thinking about, I don't know how long I've been in ministry now, 15, 20 years. And I was thinking, if I could give advice to anybody, just one piece of advice, I'd encourage them to keep going. When it gets hard, keep going. Persevere. Don't give up. Sometimes you think that because God is calling you to do something, it should be easy, right? I can't tell you how many church planners I've talked to who are going to start a church, and they're just discouraged from the very beginning. Oh, it's so hard to find a space, so hard to get going. It's going to get a lot harder. Once you have a place to meet, once you have people, it's going to get harder. You're going to have challenges. A lot of times they want to give up right off the bat because it just seems like, well, God should just part the Red Sea and we walk through it. We don't get wet. It's nice and easy. If you want easy, don't follow Jesus. But if you want a peace that transcends all understanding and a peace that you can't stop talking about, well, come to Jesus. You can have that. You can have peace in the midst of your greatest trials and all your struggles. You can have peace. You need to persevere. You need to persevere when it gets hard. Paul didn't make disciples because it was easy. We see this in the first two verses of this passage. It says, they went around. They spoke so effectively, a great number believed. It's great. But anytime God is working, the enemy always comes in right behind it. In verse 2, the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles, poisoned their minds. So those who don't believe stir up, they cause problems. Here we see they poison the minds. They poison their minds. They, you know, poison is interesting because, you know, to get somebody to take poison, you usually have to mix it in with something good, right? You know, if you want to poison the king, you need to take some of that poison and you put it in his wine. You put it in his steak dinner. You know, the other day we were trying to get Roscoe to take some medicine. I went by his food bowl and there's these brown little kibbles or whatever, and there's these two bright white tablets. I was like, he should know not to eat the white tablets, but he's going to take it. Now, that's going to help him get better, but when you want somebody to take something that maybe they don't like, you put it in with something good. A lot of times that's how poisoning comes in. You take something that's bad, you mix it with something good. That's what's going on here. And we see that in a lot of different ways in life. There's adversity. There are people coming against you, people trying to get you to not do what God is calling you to do. You have to press on through that. Adversity is always present. You see each city he goes to, God works, but there's also challenges. We see that in Lystra. Paul prays for a man lame from birth, and he's healed, right? That's amazing. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, if we just prayed, if they saw a miracle, everybody would believe. And this passage says, no, not necessarily. I mean, some do believe, but some double down on their stubbornness. They refuse to believe. They see it through the lens of their own presuppositions, their own biases. God does a healing. They tell him who did it, why he did it, what he's done for them, and they bow down to worship Paul and Barnabas rather than Jesus. I mean, sometimes, moms, you think you've got the perfect explanation. You've got the perfect illustration, and you share it, and it just doesn't sink in, does it? Sometimes you think you've done everything right, and they don't get it. You read this and you think about your own Christian life. There's no doubt, things that God has done for you, perfect, and you just don't see it immediately, right? Sometimes you need help. We're reminded of just the challenge of God, of instilling God's word in other people and also just God's work in us. Sometimes we can be stubborn. Sometimes we don't get it. We need to keep going when things don't go the way we wanted. Keep going even when people don't see what they should. You know, in verse 22, he reminds them to remain true to the message. The word remain, you know, stay on course. Don't give up. Keep going. We need to be reminded of that. You know, I was also thinking in this passage, we see Paul and Barnabas continuing the journey, but one guy that we saw earlier, John Mark, he's not with them anymore. He's gone back home. I used to read about John Mark, and I thought, man, he was like done. He just wanted to go back and play video games. But I've kind of, after reading this passage, I kind of wonder if John Mark saw what was going on in Cyprus and thought, this is hard. You know, our lives are being threatened, and he bails and goes back. You know, I used to fault him just thinking, you know, he just wants to go and goof off, but he may have seriously been considering, you know, my life is going to be threatened. He goes back, and then Paul, he goes to one city. He's threatened to be stoned, and that kind of stone, it's not what happens in frat houses, right? This is people taking you out and pelting you with rocks to kill you. John Mark very well could have seen that and thought, I'm done. I'm heading back. Paul and Barnabas, they keep going, and it's hard the whole way through. You know, I think sometimes we set out to do things, and we just don't realize how hard it's going to be, whether it's planning a church. Maybe it's sharing with your neighbor. Maybe it's motherhood. I was thinking back at my old church. I saw the small groups for the young married, newly married couples. And I remember talking to a group leader one time, and it's asked, hey, how's group going? And they're saying, hey, you know, it's going pretty well. But, you know, the new couple, they come and they just kind of seem disconnected. They seem a little irritated at times. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, they're really nice, and, you know, let me go talk to them. So I was talking to her, and I was like, hey, how's the group? And they're like, oh, we love group. But it just kind of gets old because all these married couples with kids, they just want to talk about how hard parenting is. And, like, I just don't get it. I mean, you know, if the baby's acting up, I mean, just put a pacifier in his mouth, put him in the bed, and tell him to go to sleep. You know, what's the big deal? And I just laughed. I was like, well, just, you know, kind of hang in there and learn what you can. And it was funny because about 18 months later, they have a newborn. And they go into group, and it's like they are coming in like a drowning man looking for a life preserver, just trying to find something to hold on to give them some encouragement. Like, how do I handle a baby? What do we do? You know, what are the tricks of the trade? They had no idea it would be that hard. I'm sure all you moms have been there. You dads have been there too. Like, you just don't realize how difficult it's going to be. Paul's journeys were difficult. His following of Jesus was hard. Your following of Jesus is going to be hard. The good news of the gospel isn't, hey, come to Jesus and everything is going to go perfect. The good news of the gospel is that he is with you in the midst of your struggles. He is with you. You can turn to him. You can trust him. You can find peace in that. You can find wisdom. As you follow him, he's going to lead you through those different things. We don't want to give up because it gets hard. I want to encourage you moms with that, just to think about the challenges that you have to rest in Jesus. It's not going and getting six steps to being a better mom. It's going to be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship in which you are pursuing him. You're seeking him. You're trying to find him in the midst of all the challenges, all the ups and downs. Sometimes it feels like you're Indiana Jones trying to get out the house and all these obstacles and darts and boulders are coming after you. You want to rest in him. You want to trust in him. I want to encourage you, just the significance of being a mom. You know, we live in a culture today that really in culture today, we value money. Money is our idol. It's our God. We value that. So you hear that esteemed, and you don't often hear about the sacrifices that you're making as moms. I know a lot of you, you could be doing different things to make more money. A lot of times you've sacrificed careers. Maybe you've picked the job that gives you more flexibility. Doesn't pay as well, but it allows you to do different things for the family. And that's a sacrifice. And we just want you to hear from us as a church that we value you. We value what you're doing. You are giving your life for someone else. You are laying down your life over and over and over again every day to take care of somebody else. That's where we find true life. It's not in us trying to hoard everything, but it's in following Jesus to give of ourselves to others. You are doing that. Don't let the culture poison your minds. We want to encourage you that what you're doing, it's honorable, it is good, and keep at it. Actually, as you leave today, we've got a rose. Just wanted to give to all the moms, just not a rose, a carnation. I confuse my flowers. We have a flower that just we want to give you just to encourage you in the work that you're doing, that we value that. We honor that, and we want you to be encouraged and know that that is an important work that God has called you to do, and we want to support you in the midst of that. So as you get that carnation, just remember that you have a church that is pulling for you, a community of people that wants to see you thrive and flourish in the work that you're doing. And as we did that, we also wanted to, we were also thinking about the other young ladies, the single ladies in the church, the ladies that may not have kids. We want to be a blessing to you. We want to encourage you in what God has called you to do. We know that right now, some of you teens, you may think about being a mom and it just like, it freaks you out. You just think, man, no way do I ever want to do that. I think most moms have been there at some point. But I just wanted to encourage you in just a way to build into you what God may be doing in your life, that he may call you to be a mom at some point, and that is a good work. It is a noble work. There's so much confusion in our culture today, and they tell you different things. There's a lot of confusion about the most basic parts of life. Our culture doesn't value kids. It doesn't value marriage, and there's just confusion on what does it mean to be a man or woman. And I just want to tell you that as a church, we believe that God has created men and women. He's created you with a purpose, and there's significance in that. And we know that there's going to be parts, times in life where it's hard, life is confusing. We just want to encourage you, press in to God's will for your life. He has a beautiful purpose for you ladies. He has a beautiful plan. It's going to unfold in his timing, in his way, but keep trusting him. Keep seeking him. Keep looking to him for your purpose and significance in life. He's going to make it clear to you. It's not always easy, but it's good. Nothing that is good in life comes easy. So keep pressing into his purpose and plan for you. We have a carnation for you as well, just as a way, you know, we want you to take that, and it may be years from now, maybe you're a mom, and we just want you to look back and know that you have a group of people that's right here that is praying for you, that loves you, that is supporting you, and wants to see you flourish in what God calls you to do. Amen? Just want to encourage all of us to encourage them in that. So we see we need to persevere. Second thing is stay true to the faith. We all need to stay true to the faith, not just be, hey, stay true to you, not just follow your own heart. You know, our culture is big on self-realization. You know, do whatever makes you happy. Be you. I hear that a lot. Hey, you go do you. Well, that's fine, but you doing you, does it ultimately conform to God's will for your life? You know, culture is big on self-realization, but your self-realization is only as good and helpful as it allows you to come to the fullness that God has for you. Only as it allows you to be faithful to him. That's what's most important. We need to stay true to the faith. In verse 22, we have this on the screen. It says, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples. How do you strengthen a disciple? Encourage them to remain true to the faith. Encourage them to remain true to the faith. Conform to the faith. Stay true to the faith. Don't venture. Don't steer away from the truth. And it's not a faith. It's not a truth. It's the faith. That's what we want to stay true to, the faith. It's amazing to read that, the faith. Not just any faith, but the faith. This occurs several times in the New Testament. Jude 1:3 encourages them, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith. The faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Colossians 2 wants them rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. It's important. The faith. You know, a lot of people today say, well, Christianity is a third or fourth century development. You know, they didn't know what was going on and it developed later on. No, that's not true. You see right here in the book of Acts that there's a pattern of belief. Jesus equipped the disciples to know what to teach and what to do. They knew the faith. You need to conform to the faith. You need to let this faith guide you. You know, faith can be very unclear. What faith? People throw faith around today and it's like, you don't know what that is. Well, in Scripture, the faith is very quantifiable. It's very objective. It's the Word of God. It's what we know in God's Word. And we have to ask ourselves, are you conforming to the faith or trying to make the faith conform to you? Are you letting God's Word define you, or are you just trying to use God's Word for your own convenience? Are you letting God's Word shape you and guide you? Are you even reading God's Word to get in it, to see what it says, to see what He calls you to do? This is important because right here we see how the faith is shaping Paul, and we actually see how this faith is shaping him in his adversity. I mean, I wrote down a couple verses that you guys probably all know. Philippians 4:7. Great verse. It says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Anybody ever told yourself that verse? What a great verse. What an encouraging verse. Another verse, Ephesians 3:20. "Now Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us." Wow, God is able to do more than I can imagine today. As I head into the office, God is able to do more than I can imagine. As you look at all the kids and all the stuff that you need to do, God is able to do more than I can imagine. His power is at work in me. That's so encouraging. Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." You can wake up tomorrow and tell yourself, God has given me every spiritual blessing in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? But do you ever have days that you feel like, man, my life feels disconnected from those verses? Isn't it amazing to think about the guy who wrote those verses has been beaten, has been stoned, has been left for dead? A lot of times in today's culture, we think that if things don't go the way we wanted, that God has abandoned us. Paul never had that. His faith was defining his circumstances. He knew God was with him, even in the midst of all those challenges. Even in the midst of being driven from a town, multitudes angry at you, angry enough to kill you, left for dead, he had the peace of God that transcends all understanding. He knew that he had every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's amazing to think about. We need to make sure that God's Word is defining us, that God's Word is defining us in the circumstances that we are. Don't let your circumstances define you. You're always going to want something else. There's always going to be something that you don't have. But in Christ, we have so much. In Christ, we have everything that we need. Don't doubt the goodness of God when life gets hard. You ever do that? You ever do that? You ever wake up and it's just so hard? It's like, God, have you abandoned me? I can't tell you how many times in life I've even prayed prayers. It's like, God, I really need you to do this, this, and this by this time, or I don't know how we keep going. I need you to do this, this, and this, or this kid, or we're just going to have to ship them out. You know, I don't know what to do. You know, I can't handle it. You doubt God's goodness. You know, it's like, God, if you are good, I need you to do these things. And sometimes I wonder if Paul prayed that as well. If Paul had those thoughts, he never gave up obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, but his faith was defining him. He didn't question the character of God. All the verses about the goodness and greatness of God were true, even in the midst of his hardship. You need to tell yourself the truth. When it gets hard, don't think God has abandoned you. When it gets hard, don't think God's character is all of a sudden changed. Stay true to the faith. Stay true to who God is. Just want to encourage all of you in that. I know a lot of you have been through incredibly difficult times. Maybe you moms, you've been through challenges, miscarriages. Maybe you've lost children. It's just unimaginably difficult to think about that. But as we think about those hard times, it reminds us that we need a Savior. Reminds us that only Jesus can save us. It reminds us that as we're going through hard times of parenting kids and maybe they're not doing the things that we want them to do, our hope is not just the 5 steps to a better parent. Our hope is trying to get them to see their need for Jesus. That a relationship with Him is what we ultimately need. It's what I need. It's what my kids need. We want them to stay true to the faith. As parents, we want to help them to see how the faith shapes their hardships, how the faith shapes their adversity, how they can still say God is good, even when that girl won't go out with them, even when that college didn't accept them. It's not about getting our way. It's about learning to trust God in all the ups and downs in life. It's about staying true to the faith. We want to do that. We want to let the Word of God shape us. And the third thing to point out here is to celebrate. Now, that may be a bit of an odd transition going from what I was just talking about to celebrate, but it's also a bit odd in this passage. All these hardships, all the things going on in verse 27, they get back to Antioch, and it says, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. That's amazing to think about. God had opened the door. They're sharing about that. I mean, actually, pull up the last map picture. I have it on the screen. It's just neat to think about what's happened. So remember, they started out in Antioch. That's on the far right. They go south, they sail, they came up, and then they come through the checkered box, Iconium, and then Derbe. Look at the distance from Derbe back to Antioch. It's like an inch, right? Okay, it's a few feet up there. But when they got to Derbe, they didn't just go straight to Antioch. They went backwards through all the mess. Through all the mess, all the people that challenged them, they go back. Take a boat ride. That's dangerous back then. They didn't just do the easy thing. They went back. It's amazing to think about. You know, sometimes you feel like, man, haven't we done this? Haven't we already? And we've got to go back. You always feel like there's more work to do. There's times you just need to celebrate. You need to celebrate what God has done. Paul's mission was to plant churches. And so he's doing that. People are coming to faith. You know, these aren't church buildings. These are just gatherings of people, kind of like us, right? We're a church plant. We're a new beginning. We're similar to what Paul was working with then. Praise God that people are being saved. Praise God that people are responding to the message. But there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in each of these churches, right? I mean, very clear, Paul has been opposed. These churches are going to experience some opposition. So many things. You know, these churches are like toddlers, you know. Every now and then, we've got Percival, you know, he's walking around, you know. Sometimes when they're toddlers, they stand up, they're real confident, and they take one step and fall on their face, right? Are these churches, are they going to stand up and are they going to run? Or are they going to fall on their face? They're toddlers. I mean, just think about all the opposition they've been through. Think about just the need for maturity to happen, and it's not there yet. And Paul goes back, and he gets back with the church that commissioned them to go out, and they celebrate. He reports on all that God has done. All that God had done. They're celebrating that. And as I think about Paul sitting in front of these people talking about all that God has done, I wonder if he's still got the marks on his face from being stoned. If he's still got open wounds from those times. He's been hurt. He's been opposed, but he's celebrating what God has done. And it just reminds me that so often in life, there's always something else that we need to get done. There's always something else that you want to see your kids grow in. There's always something else that you need to do, that your spouse needs to do. And sometimes you just need to stop and celebrate what God has done, that there's growth. Maybe it's just that the kids are still alive. We haven't killed them yet. God's working on your patience. God is working in your life. Just recognize that and take time to celebrate. We see that here. You know, Paul is doing, in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he said, give thanks always. I think that's part of what he's doing here. He's giving thanks. He's celebrating what God has done. There can always be something to complain about, but it's an act of faith to choose that we are going to celebrate. We could complain about this. Paul could complain about his hardships, what the people didn't do, how they hurt him, but he is there and he's celebrating. That takes faith to be able to do it. It takes faith to celebrate where God is working. It takes faith to look past your hurts and your failures and your mistakes and just the opposition and say, we're going to celebrate. It's good to do in your marriage. It's good to do in your parenting. It's good to do in your work relationships. Give thanks always. Celebrate what God has done. And it's good to have a community of people that you can gather around and celebrate God's work. I mean, it's always fun to have people that you can celebrate a birthday. You celebrate the 4th of July. You celebrate Mother's Day. But you also need a group of people that will rejoice in what God has done. Because there's some people that if Paul were to get around and tell them about the beatings he endured, about the stoning he endured, about the opposition he endured, there's some people that would be completely uninterested in that. You need people around you that are going to encourage you in the work of God. They're going to celebrate God's work. They're going to celebrate when you had a chance to share the gospel. They're going to celebrate it with you doing a Bible study with your kids each night. They're going to celebrate you jumping through all the hoops and obstacles to get to small group or get to church or get to a prayer group. It's hard. You need people that are going to support you. You need people that can really be around you. This week I read a quote by the late comedian Robin Williams, just to highlight the need for community. He said, I used to think the worst thing in the world was to end up all alone. It's not. The worst thing in the world is to end up with people who make you think that you are alone. It's powerful to read that. The worst thing is to be around people who make you feel all alone. We need to be people that press into relationship with one another. You know, we talk about there's a loneliness epidemic before this pandemic, before Corona. How much more so after Corona? We need people in our lives. We need people that we can share with. Throughout the book of Acts, you see the commitment the disciples have to making Jesus known. You also see the commitment they have to one another. You need relationships and relationships that will encourage you in what God is doing in your life. We need to make sure that we are celebrating in life. If we're going to keep going in the work that God has for us, we're going to have to follow, we're going to have to persevere. We're going to have to stay true to the faith, and you're going to need people to celebrate with, to rejoice with. Sometimes people to get around you and pray for what God is doing. But Jesus makes all of this possible. Because of him, we have hope. Because of him, we have hope that we can persevere. We look at our worst circumstances and know that he's working in that. Because of Jesus, we know we have a faith that changes our circumstances, that we can apply in the difficulties. We want to stay true to that. We also know that because of Jesus, we can celebrate. We can celebrate that, man, it may be bad right now, but man, we have an expectation of something greater coming where every tear is going to be wiped away. There'll be no more sadness. We want to think about those things, and we want to keep persevering in what God has called you to be and do. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this incredible message of salvation that we have in Jesus that makes us want to endure hardships, that encourages us to keep going when life gets hard. And God, I just pray for all of us that good news would resonate loudly in our hearts. God, help us to trust you that you have a good, a beautiful, perfect plan for all of us and that we can reach out to you in the ups and downs of life. And we just thank you that in Jesus, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.